Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness Radio broadcast. I'm here today with my son. Can you say hello, son?
Hello.
Who are you?
Terry Brim.
What's your job?
General manager here at Prayer Mountain.
Oh, we're so glad to have him. He's a blessing to me. I'm telling you, Terry, if I just let him go, he could tell you story after story and he could wax eloquent on, I might get him to do a week for us, Terry, just you without me around, on America and our heritage. And, of course, this is the week that we are celebrating our 236th birthday. And we have been talking this week. You might want to go back and get into the archives on the beginnings of this nation and it's how God set it up and how even the academic world recognizes that the United States of America and the verbiage of the Declaration of Independence came out of what is called the First Great Awakening. Jonathan Edwards is the one that is credited. Well, it actually began in his church and in his town in Massachusetts. And Edwards, reflecting on why God had sent a revival to America and what he expected of his people, he believed that often a great work of God starts in an insignificant place where there is no visible work underway. In other words, his little town. America in the 1740s stood at the edge of the known world, and the American church was barely 100 years old. Edwards sensed that America had a significant place in God's plan for bringing the gospel to the world. Referring to the ongoing revival of faith, he concluded, quote, "What is now seen in America and the very uncommon and wonderful circumstances and events of this work seem to me to be strongly to argue that God intends it as the beginning or forerunner of something vastly great."
Mom, while you were just reading that, I was just thinking about people that may be homebound for some reason or another, or in a nursing home, that God has given you an assignment right now, just like he did Edwards and others, for a great awakening in this nation. Pray. It's the most valuable thing to create one.
Absolutely. And God has told us here at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks that we are, one thing will save America. Not the election, not any political party, an awakening to God.
And don't let the devil stop you.
No!
Find out about your authority over him. Because he will try to stop you if you take on such a task.
Mm-hmm.
But be just like that Mitchell Page.
Yeah,
they'd blow up one machine gun, he'd grab the other one. Finally, when they were all gone, he just grabbed his sword. But he kept at it, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And God will take with you.
Absolutely. And George Whitefield kept at it. Jonathan Edwards was the minister that it began in his church. But it was absolutely the preaching of itinerant preachers. And I'll just read to you from my book, and you can get this book for $5, Letters to Partners in the Service of the Lord. When I started reading this last night, I thought, wow, I put a lot into this. And it recalled so many things to me. And back at the beginning of our country, for many reasons, the sense of divine purpose for the new world and for themselves as individuals, which the Pilgrims and Puritans dedicated their lives to, had waned in the intervening years until God stirred it up again in the Great Awakening. The expanding colonies were divided by distance and lack of good roads and good communications. Time was consumed in surviving. One source said the majority of the people were unchurched when the awakening began. Though many had their parts, the one person all historians, secular and religious, point to as the most influential was George Whitefield. The Restoring America Project states, by the time of his death in 1770, evangelist Reverend George Whitefield was the best known American in the 13 colonies. The Light and the Glory, the book by Peter Marshall and David Manuel, calls him, quote, the greatest evangelist of the 18th century, one of the handful of men in the history of Christendom to be used by God to change the course of nations through the power of His Spirit. Thousands gathered wherever George Whitefield preached. Benjamin Franklin, who became his friend, observed, quote, "It was wonderful to see the change soon made in the manners of our inhabitants. From being thoughtless or indifferent about religion, it seemed as if all the world were growing religious, so that one could not walk through the town in an evening without hearing psalms sung in different families at every street." End of quote. The persuasion and power of Whitefield's anointed voice were remarkable. The Light and the Glory states, quote, "Franklin, the first truly scientific observer of lightning, listened to Christ's 25-year-old lightning rod, Whitefield, 25 years old, Brandon, preaching from the courthouse steps, and was amazed at the carrying power of his voice. Retracing his steps backwards down Market Street until he could at last no longer hear him, the amazed Franklin computed that in an open space, Whitefield's words could be heard by 30,000 people. And on more than one occasion they were. People often remarked about his voice. Something supernatural was going on. Whitefield traversed the colonies preaching the unifying message of equality for all at the foot of the cross. A Wake Forest site, www.wfu.edu, states that, quote, "The Great Awakening was to unify 4/5 of Americans in a common understanding of the Christian faith and life. George Whitefield literally gave his life to bring about the light, bring this about. The Light and the Glory records his ministry, quote, "Year after year, up and down the East Coast and as far inland by canoe and horseback as civilization extended, in the summer of 1754, Whitefield wrote a letter to Charles Wesley, quote, "My wonted vomitings have left me, and though I ride whole nights and have frequently been exposed to great thunders, violent lightnings, and heavy rains, yet I am rather better than usual. Oh, that I might at length begin to live. I am ashamed of my sloth and lukewarmness, and long to be on the stretch for God." In that same year, he preached 100 times in 6 weeks, riding the main roads and throughout the backwoods of New England, covering nearly 2,000 miles in 5 months. Some might say that this was not good stewardship of God's gift of health, but the power of the Holy Spirit fell practically every time he preached. And one wonders if he had driven himself any less hard, would the tremendous work which God proposed through him have been accomplished, or God purposed through him. The Lord was uniting the 13 colonies. Whitefield preached more than 18,000 sermons between 1736 and 1770. In 1770, his health broken and his breathing tormented, he reached Boston on his last visit, 5 months after British troops fired on a mob of civilians, killing 5 in what became known as the Boston Massacre. Gloria Copeland and I did 2 weeks of television on why America needs to be saved and the awakening to God that will save her. That was in 2009. When we came to George Whitefield's dedication, even to the point of death, the Spirit of God fell upon everyone on the set, and we all wept as we read this account in the Light and the Glory. Quote, "The next month found him in New Hampshire, where the ministers of Exeter begged him for a sermon. But when the time came, he could barely breathe. Glancing heavenward, he said, 'Lord Jesus, I am weary in thy work, but not of it. If I have not finished my course, let me go and speak for thee once more in the fields and seal thy truth and come home and die.' And the Lord granted his request. The entire district seemed to have converged on the Exeter Green. At first, Whitefield could hardly be heard, and his words were rambling. He stopped and stood silent. Minutes passed. Then he said, quote, he was very sick. Then he said, quote, 'I will wait for the gracious assistance of God, for he will, I am certain, assist me once more to speak in his name. Then, according to Jonathan Parsons, the minister of Newburyport, he seemed to be rekindled by an inner fire. His voice now strong and clear. On and on he went into the second hour when he cried out, I go to rest prepared. My sun has arisen and by the aid of heaven has given light to many. It is now about to set. No, it is now about to rise to the zenith of immortal glory, O thought divine. How willingly I would ever live to preach Christ, but I die to be with him. After a night of fitful sleep in the early morning, he pulled himself out of bed and over to the window to see the dawn's early light. George Whitfield died just as the first rays of the sun caught the waters of the bay below. The new day would bring forth across the nation. His dream had come true. America was a nation now, one nation under God. He was the first to, he went about all the colonies preaching that they should unite. And they should be one nation under God. And this is what brought forth their ideas of unity, 4/5 of them. In his book, Unto a Good Land, David Edwin Harrell Jr. and a team of his historians concludes, to be sure, Whitfield did not do it alone, although it is worth noting that the first individual to bring some degree of unity to the colonies was not a politician, but a preacher. What do you think of that?
God has done that so many times in our country. You know, our colleges were founded by preachers.
Out
of the Great Awakening. And so many success stories of this nation is because men and women have decided to devote themselves to God. And I love how God loves this country and how he uses this country. And he's not through with it.
No.
He's not done with it. And I want to encourage anyone, don't you, Mom, that
yes,
you might be by yourself, but you can make a big difference.
Oh, you can make all the difference. I often want to go into nursing homes and raise up prayer groups. People have got time to pray.
Yes.
If you've got time to pray, remember this nation. Remember it this week.
We need your prayer.
Cry out to God for an awakening. An awakening that will save America. And an awakening in our youth. And we're about to have a youth rally July 23rd through 29. Champions for Christ. Here in Branson, we use all the good fun things at Silver Dollar City and Whitewater and Dixie Stampede. But oh my, the spiritual time that we have. And you've got time now to enroll your child or send them. I think 13 is the age they need to be. And you just call us at 417-335-7680. That's 417-335-7680. We're looking forward to seeing your young people there. And don't forget the Patriots Bible. This is Billy Brim and Terry saying Shalom for tomorrow.